You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The concept of seeking sanctuary in a church is an ancient one. But as the United States toughens its immigration stance, people facing deportation are turning to this ancient custom and to churches for sanctuary. One such case is happening right now in downtown Detroit. Ded Rangsburgai is an Albanian immigrant facing deportation. He'd been allowed to stay in this country for years because his wife, Flora, suffers from multiple sclerosis and is confined to a wheelchair. But that has ended, and he faces deportation. Ded and Flora turned to Central United Methodist Church, asking for sanctuary, and they've lived at the church since January. I recently visited Central United to hear their story. We begin with their advocate. Caitlin Homrick-Kneeling is with Michigan United. So in a nutshell, recap for us what brought Ded to this position.
So when Ded and his family first immigrated to the U.S., they applied for political asylum. And political asylum is extremely difficult to get. But it was one route that could work for them.
Why was that?
To get legal citizenship. Nobody can just apply for citizenship in the U.S. There's very particular definitions of ways to get permanent legal status. And the only way that their attorney evaluated they had any eligibility in one of these statuses was through political asylum. So they applied for that. They were denied. Our circuit of courts is actually one of the most difficult to get political asylum through. So they appealed it, and it was denied again. I'm not sure how many times that happened, but in that time, Flora got sick. And they were granted a humanitarian status for staying here. In that time, Ded did everything he could, thinking, if I play by all the rules, if I do everything they're asking me to, and if I pay my taxes, they're going to see that I'm an asset, and they're going to want me here. So I'm just going to do everything I can to try and get on this immigration system's good side so that they'll somehow extend me a legal permanent status or citizenship. But that's not how it works. Back in October, when Ded found out in his annual check-in with ICE that they intended to deport him soon, Ded immediately contacted press and tried to start advocating for himself. His attorney submitted a stay of removal request in December, and when ICE was not responding to that, they believed that the only way this family could be kept together and the dignity of Flora's life maintained is if they took sanctuary. So it was really a non-choice at that point. That day that they took sanctuary, they made national headlines. It was a very bold move, and it's unique because most families that I speak to that are facing deportation, they think, well, if I play by the rules a little bit longer, if I abide by this deportation order, maybe someday I'll be able to immigrate here legally. But in the Rangsburgai family case, that's not going to happen. It'll be at least 10 years before Ded would be able to come here legally, and by then Flora's condition will have just deteriorated beyond repair. So it was truly a matter of life and death for them. It was a non-decision to move into this church in a way that is pretty unique.
What has this experience working with the Rangsburgai family, what has it shown you about our immigration system?
What I've learned through this campaign is that it's extremely difficult to take an unjust system and try to convince it to do the right thing, even in one instance. We've submitted 700 letters in support of this family, plus 300 petition signatures, plus congresspeople have spoken out in favor, plus more congresspeople have called behind the scenes to advocate for this family. And nothing is working to convince them. So it's something that's terrifying for everybody involved. We don't know if we'll be able to do enough to convince this unjust deportation machine to treat a family humanely in one instance. That responsibility of trying to do that, of taking this on and saying, yes, we'll try, is terrifying when you start to realize just how difficult it's going to be. And to be honest, I've never needed to have faith in a greater power any other time in my life like I do now.
We turn now to Ded Ranksbergai and his wife, Flora. They came to this country 17 years ago as visitors. Ded has worked as a Coney Island restaurant cook since then. The family lived in Southgate. His oldest son is a DACA recipient and a student at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. The youngest son is a high school student who is a United States citizen. Flora developed multiple sclerosis 11 years ago, and Ded is her caregiver. He had temporary humanitarian status, but that ended with a deportation order late last year.
You came to this country 17 years ago, and my understanding was it came from Albania to Canada,
yes.
And then from Canada into the U.S.
Yes.
So why did you stay in the United States?
Because everyone wants to come to the United States, because you say it's got the free country. And you can say anything, do anything, and got the job, got the nice people, and got the everything.
And Flora, this is where you felt you wanted to raise your family and to make your home.
Yeah. I'm come for life. Not been in no life before. For now, no idea, nothing. I'm sick, no idea, nothing for Albania.
So explain to people why you took sanctuary at this church.
I took sanctuary because no other choice. All my choice is gone, and no other choice, because no one broke my family, no one leave my wife. How can be, or you, or everyone, to leave your wife 11 years sick with MS, mm-hmm. or to leave my son, teenager, born and raised in here, and just some go?
During these years that you've been here, you tried for asylum, correct? And what happened?
I got allowed to stay in here. Just before coming here, and I can understand, before coming here, deployment authorization come in my mail, because you have to renew it every year. And I got driver license, and I got everything like who's American people got to work and to do. And before I got year after year go again to meet ISIS, every time it's called me, I go over there.
You show up at ICE? You
every time.
Present yourself?
Many, many times.
And you've been allowed to stay on
yes,
humanitarian grounds?
To now I'm in here. And no got no chance anymore. I appeal it everything. I do everything. That's make me to buy my own ticket from my money.
You were told you're being deported, buy your one-way ticket to Albania.
Yes.
Did they have a date set?
Yes, January 25th. But I can tell her parents over there, hey, I leave your door over there in the street and me, I'm in here. It's not I'm doing. Not I'm doing that.
And Flora, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, how important is having Ded here for you?
For me, to help me for all my life. It helped me every day to take a shower, to change clothes, for everything helped me. I'm needed for all my life, my husband. And I see, I don't know what happened.
And I can see on your face, you'd know that everything she needs is wrapped up in you.
Yeah, really, her need me. Everyone knows that. But many people support us and do it for us.
Well, in fact, you've had support from Congresswoman Debbie Dingell
yes.
and Brenda Lawrence,
yes.
also Congressman Luis Gutierrez.
So thank you for all coming to visit me, too, you know.
And a lot of people writing letters on your behalf.
Yes. Many letters, many doing so.
700.
How does that make you feel, knowing that that's...
It make me like feel like, you know, the people want to help me. You know, the people want to help me to stay all together.
You're a guy that's a cook at a
yeah,
restaurant?
Yeah, I cook in their sons for many years.
So here you are, you can't leave. How do you pass the time?
I get up in the morning, I have to take care of her first. I have to get up my kids. One have to go in school in the morning. Soon as I take care of the kids and leave and go to school, I take care of her after. I put her soon, her let's get up. You want to do a shower. And after I make her breakfast. Many times her like omelet. I said, okay, no worry, I make you omelet. 5 minutes, it's cost me. And sometimes it's, no, I want the eggs over easy, you know, or the, I want it scrambled. Okay, whatever you want, just tell me what you want.
Flora, there have to be advantages to being married to a cook.
Oh, yeah, perfect cook. A cook and nurse aren't a cook in home.
I got time after try to make
I'm
for
lucky.
What's to do
husband.
For lunch, what's to do for dinner.
But is there a feeling of you're still feeling restricted?
Feeling like what I do wrong, I'm in here. what I do wrong. Never do in my life wrong.
What's your understanding of what would happen if you walked through these doors and out onto the street?
I think it'd be bad. Can arrest me and make me divorce with my family. I'm pretty sure. But I come in here and never leave my family.
How long are you prepared to wait this out?
Here? To tell you, you probably don't believe me. One day for me, it looked like 1 month. Doesn't matter. Well, I got everything in here. No, don't complain. Everything I got in here. Nice people, nice food, nice, take care of me for everything. But it doesn't matter. And my heart looked like what I do. And all day my brain go all over what I do, what I got, why I'm in here.
And the thing you most want to have happen, what is that? What's the thing you're most praying for?
I'm praying to leave the family all together in here. And I'm praying to leave us free.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, and we'll keep following. And you'll certainly keep us posted, I'm sure. Ded and Flora, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much for spending the time with us.
That was Ded and Flora Ranksbergai, who have taken sanctuary since January at Central United Methodist Church. It's one of Detroit's oldest Protestant congregations with a long history of being heavily involved in social justice. I spoke with Arthur Park. He's chair of the Peace and Justice Committee at Central United, and we talked about the church's decision to be a sanctuary congregation for the Ranksbergais.
Why was the church open to publicly stepping up to say, we will be a sanctuary, and then opening its doors to this family?
Central United Methodist Church has been a church that has embraced peace and justice issues now in the third century. This is the church that in the 1800s worked to outlaw capital punishment in Michigan. This church, during the time of the Chinese Exclusion Act, had a Chinese church as part of our members. During the Second World War, we embraced Japanese Americans. So this church has a long history of being a church that has embraced the concept of sanctuary and of peace and justice issues.
What does this family situation say to us about our immigration system?
I think it's saying that our immigration system is broken. People keep using the concept that he was somehow illegal, but how can you be illegal if you're given a permit to work? If you are given Social Security card, driver's license, you're able to buy health insurance, all these things, which is like, come on, you're welcome here. And when his wife became ill, he was given a humanitarian stay, which was legal. How can we then take that away from him and say, okay, we no longer have this for you? You know, when the wife is more ill than she was 11 years earlier, you know, it's inhumane, and that our government is party to it is really disheartening.
What is your understanding, Arthur, of what would happen if Ded walked through the door and out onto Woodward and left the church?
Well, I think he would be picked up eventually, you know. He may get away for a while, but he would be picked up eventually and deported to Albania, and his wife would perhaps become a ward of the state. His minor son might go into foster care. I mean, all for really no good reason, because here he is, a law-abiding person, providing for his family, paying his taxes, paying into Social Security, and they see very little of that. You know, it's just unfathomable to me to wrap my head around what is happening in this country in terms of immigration.
What has it taken in terms of logistics and support and donations to keep this family here at your church?
Well, thank goodness we have people who are donating and that other religious groups are stepping up to help. But it has been quite expensive. Housing part is easy because it's free for us. I mean, we have the facility here to do it, and so that's nothing. We're paying for that anyway. But there are a lot of different expenses, you know, doctor's expenses even, you know, and things like that, car insurance and things of that sort. So it takes quite a bit of money to do all those things.
To those who are out there, and we know they're there, saying there's a system and there are rules for a reason and the rules need to be enforced and I support what's happening, what do you say to them?
I would say that they don't understand the system. They really don't understand what's happening. They are functioning under the belief that government can never be wrong about anything. It's a myth. They believe in a myth that the government cannot be wrong about anything. We had a letter from a man the other day in support of DED, and he said, "I'm not a weepy-eyed liberal. I'm a conservative, but in this case, this is simply wrong." So I think when people really understand whatever political belief they might have, they will agree that this is really immoral and wrong. At least I hope so. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get out the word to the broader public that they have to speak up. You know, we have to have a united voice, not only for DED in this situation, but for the whole immigration system as a whole. We have to be joined by not only churches. I don't care what you believe or don't believe. You have to understand what morality is. And this is one of those cases where you have to really embrace morality. And if we don't embrace morality, I think this country is doomed. It becomes not a country that welcomes people, or a country of love, or a country of caring, but a country of hate. And if it becomes a country of hate, then we're all doomed.
Arthur Park is the chair of the Peace and Justice Committee here at the Central United Methodist Church in Detroit. Thank you for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Arthur Park of Central United Methodist Church. Several U.S. and state representatives, including Congressmembers Debbie Dingell and Brenda Lawrence of Michigan and Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, are all trying to get federal immigration and customs enforcement officials to grant a stay of deportation to DED.